This is the fifth lecture in Unit 4, Component 2, about the clinical process following the classic paradigm for patient-clinician interaction. Previous lectures covered how clinicians gather and analyze data about a patient, including numerous techniques for reaching a diagnosis and how to formulate a plan to treat or manage the patient's problem once it is diagnosed. In this final lecture, we discuss the next step, which is communicating the patient plan to all those who might need information about it. It is not clear how far back the practice of keeping records of patients goes, but it does go back at least as far as this quote from Sir William Osler, who recommended to medical students, "Never ask a new patient a question without a notebook and pencil in hand." To begin our discussion, let's consider a patient who has come to see a clinician to establish care. In the course of the visit, a problem list has been generated, which includes diabetes that is causing frequent urination, thirst, an increased appetite, and high blood sugar. The list also includes high blood pressure, with three previously recorded blood pressures that were abnormal, and evidence on a cardiogram that the heart is being affected. The list also includes low-density lipoprotein, or LDL, levels far above the goal at 162, and a high triglyceride test result of 250. The patient is also overweight, with a body mass index of 34. As the clinician develops a management plan for each of these problems with the patient, it becomes important to communicate these problems and the plans for them to others as they evolve over time. Who is the audience for these communications? There are many people and entities who may play some role in the patient's care. The patient, of course, needs to receive this information, but also on occasion, family, friends, or even the public will play a role. Clinical staff needs to be involved, including nurses, laboratory technicians, therapists who may be called upon to deal with the patient. The clinician is part of this process in terms of keeping notes for his or her own future actions and communicating with colleagues and consultants when a diagnosis is uncertain or a referral is needed. One or more insurance companies will also need some information in order to improve payment. There is also the possibility, hopefully never realized, that attorneys may need to review the patient's record for information to support their client in the event of a conflict. A variety of regulatory agencies, government and professional, have an interest in making sure the health system and health professionals are acting appropriately. Beyond this, the information in the clinical record may be used for research by those who do data mining and for performance measures in quality improvement. The patient record created by the clinician will be used by a very diverse set of audiences, each speaking different languages, each with different goals. The question arises, what is the correct or appropriate message for each of these audiences? Most important and first on the agenda is communicating with the patient. This involves some degree of patient education to explain what is wrong, what can be done, and how it came about. There is also a need for specific instructions about what to do, and these instructions have to be put in a language and format that the patient can use effectively. There frequently is a need for reassurance about what will happen and a need to motivate the patient to become more engaged in their care, or indeed to help the patient to maintain hope when the prognosis is grave. Whatever the problem, whatever the prognosis, patients may need acknowledgement, acceptance, and a clear understanding that the clinician will be there for them. Communicating the plan to the patient may involve any or all of these goals. Very often, there are others who will be interested or need to know about the patient's problem and treatment plan. Significant others, parents, children, siblings, best friends, possibly even the landlord. It all depends on the patient and his or her relationships. The question is, what do each of these individuals need to know? What will be best for the family member? What can legally be disclosed? What can ethically be disclosed? Clearly, there are limits in law and regulation that help answer some of these questions. However, in clinical practice, the answers to these questions are often individualized, depending on the needs and the condition of the patient and the needs of their loved ones. So the second part of the communication plan is figuring out what to communicate to the patient's family and friends and how to do this. This can be a very important part of the management of patients with a significant impact on outcomes. After considering the patient and the family, there is a whole host of clinical staff who need differing amounts of information about the patient, the problem, and the management plan in order to carry out their role in the process. These staff may include nurses, pharmacists, dietitians, persons who perform physical therapy, occupational therapy, respiratory therapy, laboratory technicians, and X-ray technicians. Each of these people is likely to need information specific to their task, and very often they can contribute more when they have some contextual information. An X-ray technician who understands what the problem is that you are looking for will likely make better decisions about the types of X-rays to take. A dietitian will need information about the patient's various diagnoses, habits, and background, as well as the clinical goals. Each member of the team needs some, but not all, of the information to help them contribute. A less obvious person with whom the clinician must communicate is himself or herself. As Sherlock Holmes said, "Nothing clears up a case so much as stating it to another person," referring to the cognitive processing that goes on as one organizes and articulates the information. One understands the case better after going through this process of organizing and articulating, whether this is verbally stating it to another person or by creating a written record. There is a processing effect in recording a case. There is an effect of imposing structure and order, and there may be some impact of the recording technology that is used, dictating, writing, typing, or using various types of macros and smart text. Creating clinical notes not only has an effect on the clinician's processing of the case, but it is also a means of communicating with himself or herself in the future. Today's note, if well written, becomes an excellent basis for reestablishing the state of affairs on the next patient visit, which may be many months or even years away. There is also often the need to communicate about the patient with other clinicians, colleagues, or consultants. In discussing the case with colleagues, for example, signing out a patient over the weekend or transferring the patient to another person's care for the future, there are considerations for the format, content, and detail of the communication, which will vary depending on the purpose. On-call overnight coverage requires less information and detail than the permanent transfer of patient care responsibility. There is often a certain economy in this discourse expressed in the observation. Experts share knowledge not only of their domain, but of the structure and goals of their discourse. This shared knowledge can make communication between colleagues quite efficient. When it comes to consultants who are being called upon to address specific issues, an essential consideration is to ask a clear question. If one communicates a clear question to the consultant, one is far more likely to get a good answer in reply. How much information and which information to share will depend on who is being consulted. For example, the neurologist, psychiatrist, cardiologist, or radiologist are each likely to need different information to address the problem in their specialty. Simply sending everything runs the risk of forcing consultants to find a needle of clinical data in a haystack of irrelevant information. Another group that the clinician must communicate the plan and diagnosis to are insurance companies. In most cases, in order to secure payment, these organizations will require a diagnosis expressed as an International Classification of Diseases code, or ICD-9, even if the diagnosis is not yet known. They also will require expression of the service or procedure in terms of a current procedural terminology code, or CPT-4. Beyond these codes, which may not always exactly describe what the clinician is thinking, There will frequently be a need to provide certain details that support a given diagnosis or treatment in order to justify payment. This is another communication of the patient's problem and management plan, which must be accomplished by the clinician. There are still other audiences that the clinician may communicate with. One hopes it will not be necessary, but there may come a time when lawyers examine the patient record to look for information that supports their client, and this may well be on the mind of the clinician as he or she creates the record. Various government and private regulatory agencies have an interest in using the medical record to determine the clinical processes of care are appropriate. Others may use the medical record in aggregate for data mining purposes to learn about the diseases, treatments, or practice patterns. Still others will use the record in aggregate to perform clinical or outcomes research, quality and performance improvement, and patient safety studies. A major challenge for the clinician is creating appropriate communications for all of these audiences at the same time.